Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Final hour for us. Smoking Joe Patrick, 20 minutes from right now, as the Falcons brain trust has wrapped up their end-of-season press conferences. We'll let you hear from Terry Fontenot in just a few minutes as well. Joe was up there asking questions, so we'll get his thoughts on it, too, and then we'll get to an AMA to wrap things up, as we always do, at 1:40 at the end of the show. Final hour of the show brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.
All right, I know tomorrow, obviously we're going to talk about the game tonight, talking about Penn State and Notre Dame. I was going to ask Carl this here, but since they're out today, so I'm going to ask you this. Does Texas have a switch?
What do you mean?
Like, they can turn the switch off.
Yeah.
Because if you go like, talent for talent, I would say, just say, like, on this scale. All right, let's say Ohio State's 100.
Mm-hmm. They have a switch.
Texas is, what, 97?
Sure, talent-wise. Sure. Yeah.
But can they hit another gear?
I don't think so. Because if they were going to, they would have, right?
Okay, I'm going to ask.
I think. Right? Like, they would have been a good time to do it in the last game when they end up going to overtime with Arizona State. I mean, Ohio State has done it. They hit the switch.
Right.
They have it. I don't think so. I think most teams don't. I think to have that, like, it's different than just talent. It's talent in the right spots. It's, I guess.
You look at, like, Texas, the two losses to Georgia. It wasn't because of their defense.
No, their defense is incredible.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
It's because their run game can be bottled up, which Georgia did, and so did Arizona State. And we were talking about this yesterday. I was actually thinking about it because I think Quinn Ewers is fine. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's not great. Like, to me, like, I watch him play. He's obviously serviceable. There's some things that he does really well. I think he's really smart, but, like, he's pretty limited physically.
Right.
Like, his arm's not great. Certainly can't move. Like, you can make him uncomfortable and he'll make a mistake. Like, I think that's part of it. I think one of the big switches that Ohio State has made is their quarterback's been balling. Like, he's been playing great. Now, that's not to say he's not capable of making mistakes and kind of coming back down to earth like he has been at times during the season. But Will Howard's been playing incredible football.
Yeah.
I don't think Quinn Ewers is capable of that next level. I think he's really good, and I think you can win with him.
But
I think he, you know, the ceiling is what it is with him to me.
Okay, I was just curious. I was like, because Texas, you look at their secondary, like,
it's incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's probably the best part of their team.
It is the best pass defense in America.
Yeah, and now you're going against the beast that is, and some other good players.
Yeah, because it's him for sure.
But they got other dudes.
Number four is the guy, but Emeka Abuka is a really good player. Yeah. I forget the name of the third wide receiver that's also really good. They've been getting that tight end more involved as well. Number 88, he's a really good player. I don't know how I feel about Texas. I've been honest about it all year. I think they're really good. I just don't think they're special.
Okay.
Now, they're in the Final Four.
Right.
So what do I know? But, I guess, I don't know. They didn't look special against Arizona State.
They didn't. But I was just curious. I was like, can they turn it on? Can they turn it on to match what their talent is? Because
I don't know.
These dudes got dudes.
Yeah. And I think some guys have. I think the defense has, for the most part. I think Quinn Ewers has turned it on to match what his talent is.
Yeah, that's it.
I think he's, I don't know. Like, I think he's all right.
Okay.
I just don't think, you know.
He's special.
I don't think he's special. I don't think he is.
Okay.
Prove me wrong tomorrow night. Go out there and throw four touchdowns and beat Ohio. Look, if they beat Ohio State flat out, yes. Right. They have a switch and they'll probably win the national championship. To me, whoever wins that game.
What's more realistic? Ohio State looking like Michigan or Texas turning it off?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I guess probably Texas turning it on. Right. I don't think Ohio State's doing that again.
You don't think so?
No. Now, but again, though, like, to give credit to Michigan, Michigan's defense is good, and Texas's defense is good, too. So maybe Texas can do that to them a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Maybe they can make them mortal.
They can make them look like that.
Because think about Ohio State in their two playoff games. They just jumped on teams. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, damn. We're down 17-0, and it's still the first quarter.
Yeah.
Can Texas keep it a four-quarter game?
They have to. Like, you can't, you can't let what happened to Oregon and what happened to Tennessee happen to you. Otherwise, you'll end up losing 42-17 also. Which, to me, like, that's more likely to me than Texas turning it on and looking like a juggernaut.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State – it would surprise me if they blew the doors off them like they did to Tennessee. But it wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State wins the game by two touchdowns.
Okay. I'm just checking. Obviously, we'll talk more about it.
What do you think about that?
I don't – my thing with it is I gave my point to you just a second ago. Texas got to make this a four-quarter game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Texas can make this a four-quarter game, they got a good shot.
Sure.
They got a good shot. But the biggest thing, I don't know if they can come back if – and I think because of what Texas's secondary is, I don't think they will. Like, I don't see – Jeremiah Smith running free wide open against this Texas secondary. We know this Oregon secondary has been bad all year.
Yeah, they gave up like 40 points to Penn State.
Yeah, they've been bad
all year. No offense to Penn State, but they don't score like
that. Yeah, all year. I just have a hard time believing Jeremiah Smith is going to be running past Texas guys.
Yeah, they better not let him.
Yeah, I just don't. I,
they better
I just
not
have
let him.
A hard time believing he's just going to be running. And he's a beast. And I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Because he's that type of player.
He's that good.
Don't give a damn how good y'all are.
He's that good.
He's that good.
The thing to me, though, is, like, they also have those two running backs.
Yes.
Like, take it away.
I don't know if Texas could run the ball.
If they can't, they lose.
Yeah. I don't know if Texas could run the ball.
That's what it is. That's what it is with Texas. If Texas runs the ball on you, they can beat anybody. Georgia twice and Arizona State, they did not run the ball at all, and they lost twice and damn near lost the third time. Like, that's what it is with Texas. It all comes down to their run game because their defense is going to keep them at least in the game for the most part. But if they can't do anything offensively with the run game and they have to rely on yours,
dropping back,
then they're going to lose. Then they're going to lose the game. All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow!
We gave Kirk Cousins 2 years guaranteed, so when you do that, you expect to get high-level quarterback play for two seasons. We understand that didn't happen. Nobody was happy to make the switch at that time, and we wanted to get that high-level quarterback play for two seasons. So now what happens is we had to accelerate that plan and go to Mike earlier. And yet we're the allocation at the quarterback position, the cap allocation is we're eighth in the league. That's what we had planned for. Where Kirk is the starter, he's not the starter anymore. But we're very comfortable moving forward with him as a backup.
Yeah, that's Terry Fontenot. Some of what he had to say earlier in the day, talked about all kinds of different stuff. But that's kind of the money quote from Terry Fontenot's press conference earlier. I'm not surprised that that's the position that the team is taking. I also believe that he feels that way. Like, they would be fine if Kirk Cousins was the backup going into the season next season. They're a pretty good backup.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he will be.
You're going to have to pay him anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Kirk.
I don't think he will
No, Kirk will force his way out if he's a backup for Atlanta. I mean, and I think that when you look at going, you still got a young quarterback, you want to go sign some kind of veteran behind him, Andy.
Right.
You want to get a veteran behind Michael. But, yeah, I mean, it failed. All right, I understand the plan that you had. You want him to come in 2 years. That's why you gave him 2 years guaranteed, so he can come be the starter for 2 years. And if anything, you will pull him in the middle of the second year, not the first.
Right.
And so, as he said, everything was accelerated. And, because of the acceleration, because of the fall off of the quarterback that you wanted to guarantee 2 years, you're where you are. The defense played bad. They did. But they missed the playoffs because of the play of your quarterback.
Yeah.
Period. We can talk about the timeout with Ra.
Yep.
All that.
Yep.
You lost what you had because your quarterback fell off a cliff. Sacks, who was playing, all that.
No, there's warts. I thought Schlereth put it really well yesterday. Like, there's warts. Every team has warts.
Yes.
$100 million guaranteed contract quarterback is supposed to cover up the warts, not be one of them. By the middle end of the year, he was the biggest wart that the team had.
Yes.
So you had to bench him and move on. Like, that in and of itself is a huge disaster. But, like, if he plays better, you beat the Saints.
Yeah.
If he plays better, you beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
If he plays better, he's still in there at the end of the season. Maybe you win the Washington game. Maybe you win the Carolina game. Like, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're talking about a playoff preview right now as opposed to an end-of-season press conference, which is what we're talking about. So, the whole thing was a horrifying disaster. How much does Michael Penix playing well in the final three games of the season have to do with job security for him?
Oh, man.
Like, if Penix went out there and really didn't look good in those three games, do you think Terry Fontenot would have had a press conference today?
No.
I don't either.
No. I think it would have been Raw and Rich McKay.
Yeah, somebody, yeah.
Explaining the fact that we let go of our general manager. And then we're going to set a wide net between Rich McKay and his, you know, in the firm, whatever hiring firm they have, is we're gonna go on a broad net to find us a new general manager. Yes, I do believe that. But I think, you know,
Greg Beatles is he's Rich McKay now.
Greg Beatles?
Yeah, Rich McKay is the Atlanta United now.
Atlanta United what?
President. He moved over there. He's not doing any Falcon stuff.
You believe it?
No.
Okay.
But Greg Beatles is the president of the Falcons.
Okay, well,
he sits up there. Well, when they do stuff like that, he sits up there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's what the press conference would look like.
Who do you think got more power?
Power?
Greg Beatles or Rich McKay?
What do you mean? Like
in this organization.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a backup generator.
In this sway in this organization.
I know who has more power in the organization.
All right, then.
I just want Greg to get his.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
My bad, Greg.
You know what's funny?
I don't want to disrespect Greg.
On Google, when you Google Greg Beatles, a picture of Rich McKay comes up.
Hell no.
Look at that. Am I wrong? That's Rich McKay.
Oh, my. It damn sure does.
Come on, Google.
Google knows.
Come on, Google.
Yeah, Google knows. Wow. That's unbelievable.
That's Rich right there.
I know. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. That's unbelievable. When you put his name in there, Rich McKay's picture pops up.
Oh, that's just because it's about how he, you know, he's a longtime executive. Greg Beatles taking on the team president role, set to handle the business side of the role that McKay has long inhabited.
Okay, so McKay ain't got to do business no more. He goes back to football.
Yeah. Football.
I see what you went there.
Which is where we'll be on Monday. We're going to be at the Atlanta United training ground on Monday.
Yeah, baby!
Maybe we'll talk to Rich McKay.
If he's president, he got an office there. Got
to be around.
Yeah. We're going to be outside.
Bring your jacket. I don't know.
Well, you know I got more winter gear than there, so don't be surprised I show up there, up to Marietta in my damn snow pants.
Bring your gloves.
My snow pants and boots.
Bring your gloves, because last time we were there, we were outside and it was quite cold.
Yes.
I don't know what it'll be. I'm packing for weather.
I can take off.
Smoke and Joe Patrick.
I can take off clothes.
Exactly. You can remove layers if you need to. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us next. We'll talk some Falcons with him. He was obviously up there at the press conference earlier today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic. We'll get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. The Smoke and Joe Patrick here in just a minute as well.
Yeah, you know, as far as the pressure and everything, I'm looking at it, some of the clips. Seems like Joe and Mark Zeno were getting after it today.
With each other or with Fontenot?
Probably with each other. And I'm talking about competing for questions.
Okay.
Yeah, more than anything, competing for questions. Like
always compete.
Yeah, like, you know, like how they have the auctions. The guy puts out the paddle.
Yeah.
And Joe's like, I could top that, Marky. So I can call him Marky, too. Marky Z. I got you over here, man. But no, Joe is really good at his job, really good at his job and everything, and you know, and I know that you know he's one of our guys and everything like that. But I want to talk more about Ohio State, but can we? Or we got to talk more about Terry.
No, I mean we can do whatever you want. We could talk to him about
global warming.
We're talking about the weather if we want to.
Global warming. Yeah.
Right? What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
I mean, you know, Joe's a mitten guy.
He is a big mitten guy.
Yeah, Joe's a mitten guy.
Doesn't like gloves.
Nope.
He likes all four fingers to touch.
Yep.
One of the weird things about Joe. Let's get him in here.
Guy. are you raising your hand, Abe? Are you a mitten guy?
That's not surprising.
And just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge.
You
in the other corner, 92.9.
You a grown-ass mitten man,
grown-ass
huh?
Undisclosed
height and weight. Like the cover of the hamburger cover.
How come you can't flip anybody off with mittens on? And Joe loves to.
Joe's a middle finger
He's
guy.
He's a middle finger guy. How do you do that when wearing mittens?
And Joe, do you wear mittens?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's like Nate McMillan's old phrase, like, you know, the fingers are connected. You know, we have to have connection, like in a fist instead of it's in a mitten. You got to have that connection there. I don't know.
Joe, do you wear mittens?
No.
God, no. Only Abe.
Yeah.
I mean, only Abe and my one-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
I'm an adult there. I got to use my fingers. I got things to do.
Yeah, it's hard to get in Twitter fights with mittens on. Yeah. Although I guess you got your thumbs available. I don't know. All right, so you were up there today. You were up there today for Terry Fontenot. Then we will get to the college football part of it and Ohio State and all that. But for me, the most interesting thing was his commentary on Kirk Cousins. Obviously, we knew he was going to talk about it. It makes sense the way that he's answering the questions. But what did you take away from what Terry Fontenot had to say about Cousins and his future?
I think it's what I expected, certainly, and probably what a lot of people expected. Honestly, I was kind of a little disappointed by the press conference. I just don't think we got a lot of answers or real kind of like honest reflection from Terry. It's a lot of the same things that we've heard. You know, developing and you know, our players' progression here, who we have on the roster. Kirk's going to be, you know, the backup quarterback, and he kind of explained that whole situation, which is just kind of a reiteration of what they were saying when they first made those moves. Obviously, it hasn't transpired the way they wanted, but I hate to say it, but I just don't feel like we got anything really out of that, and, you know, it leaves you wondering, you know, like with the coaching staff, for example, you know, what's the situation there? He was asked directly about the defensive scheme the team used this year, and it was just a lot of, you know, that's what the process we're in now, is evaluating that stuff. And so we've had an opportunity to talk to Raheem and Terry this week, and unfortunately, I don't feel like we have a lot of answers to a lot of the burning questions that people have who follow this team and pay good money for tickets and other things.
Okay. When you were going up there, when you and all the media were going up there for both these press conferences, did you expect anything different, Joe?
It's like, you've talked to Terry before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm really curious. Like, did y'all expect, like, for your question, because what you just said was very valid. It's very,
right,
very valid.
Totally valid.
But did you expect them to come out and maybe give y'all that?
I was thinking that exact same thing, and when I was in my car on the way home, so I was kind of like stewing on it, and I was thinking, you know what, maybe I probably did get my hopes too high up about, you know, us getting an actual answer to some of these questions as to like why Kirk Cousins fell off. That's the one to me, that just drives me crazy. Yep. It's the question that I asked Terry directly, which is, you know, why, like, how did this fall off happen? And the only answer we've gotten from Kirk, from Raheem, from Terry, it's just like a shrug of the shoulders and like, I don't know. That's basically the extent of the information that we have.
Like, everybody's saying that,
but maybe they don't. Like, isn't it possible that nobody knows? Like,
give me something. Andy, give me something. Give me, we could have done a better job coaching.
Okay.
I don't even care, but like, I just feel like I'm being lied to when they just shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know.
I'm saying it's so weird. Like, it was such a weird, almost unprecedented fall off mid-season that it's possible that they are seriously stumped about it. Like, I think Kirk knows. Kirk has to know. He knows his body better than anybody, and he's been in the NFL for a long time. But, like, maybe they don't. Like, maybe it's really I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I don't think they're stumped.
Okay.
I don't think they're stumped.
What do you think it is?
I think that they – well, you know, like, it's interesting. I was actually watching back some – I was actually watching back some Bijan highlights, like his season highlight video yesterday, just because I needed something good in my life to, you know, to kind of soothe the soul. And anyway, and so, you know, it was just like his season highlight, starting with game one, going in chronological order. And – it was striking to just kind of see, even in the runs and, you know, some of the passes he caught, but just how kind of limited Kirk was, even at that point. And even at that point, you know, he was playing well. They were getting by. They were doing things. And, it remains my contention that I think that even the coordinators around the league just started to understand exactly what Kirk's limitations were and were able to just, you know, ratchet that up to the highest possible extent and, you know, at the risk of getting burned. But, you know, ultimately, those teams were proven correct in approaching Kirk that way, because he was not capable of burning them enough where to back other teams off of him and this offense. And so, you know, even an explanation like that would at least be something that makes sense and that would, you know, be understandable. But, like, we haven't heard anything about that other than just, again, the shrugging of the shoulders and kind of saying, I don't know. And the other thing, guys, and I asked Terry specifically about, you know, my question was, you know, was him coming off of this Achilles injury, you know, was that more of a burden on him and the offense than you anticipated when he was signed? And then the response that you get from, again, all these people is, he was healthy. he was healthy. But that's not really an answer to the question that was being asked. Like, I'm not asking if in your opinion he was healthy. It's what I was saying earlier. What was it more of a burden? Because I think that you can just say he was healthy, and that is not really describing the entire picture of what Kirk Cousins was facing this season. Having to deal with all the physical issues. And so that's where I get frustrated. You can probably tell in my voice, but I can tell.
Honestly. No, it's clear. I love it.
You can hear it in your voice, Joe. I think any other things from this, from the presser that caught your eye outside of everything with Kirk Cousins?
There were a couple moments. One, I'm sure if there's like any kind of viral aspect of this press conference, I imagine it will be with our friend Mark Zinno, who was really grilling Terry on the kicking situation. And Terry admitted that, you know, the kicking wasn't good enough. The Falcons had the most missed kicks in the NFL this year at 12. And they have to address that situation. Now, I would say Terry kind of alluded to the fact that Koo is still their guy that is going to be the kicker, but he did say they're going to bring in competition for him. And so you do wonder how that manifests over the course of the offseason and potentially even into training camp. Do they have two kickers there and have them continuing to compete, you know, all the way up until close to the start of the season? We'll see. But I mean, obviously it's a huge issue that really hindered this team from being the playoff team that it always wanted to be. And then the other one, guys, was, he actually did, I would say that Terry was pretty honest about where Kyle Pitts is right now and kind of, you know, it's not like it's obvious, it isn't obvious to the rest of us, but just acknowledging that the production is not there as you would expect from a player that you invested so much into with the fourth overall pick in the draft. And that, you know, you could just tell that there was some like discontent there with, his performance. And it remains my opinion that I think that he will be traded this offseason. I think we talked about this a couple months ago, but I just think that he, like, with what the Falcons need right now, they need picks. they need picks to help retool this team. And out of the tight end, I think they just need someone who is a different kind of profile player, someone a lot more in the profile of a Charlie Warner, who can mainly block for you, catch, you know, leak out and catch some short passes and be a check down option. I think that's more of the kind of style that they need out of that position. So maybe Kyle Pitts best serves them by acquiring value from him via a trade. But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
It also feels like, and this is just me sort of speculating, reading between the lines, that kind of stuff, it feels like it's gone beyond we're frustrated at this production. It feels like there might be a little bit of a rift there, like between them and him and the way that they're talking about it and all of that kind of stuff. All right, Joe, let's talk about something positive, or at least I assume it would be positive. Ohio State's playing Texas tomorrow night. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good, guys, obviously. How could you not feel anything but positive as an Ohio State fan of these last couple of games? I mean, there are some vulnerabilities for this team, which is that the strong suit of Texas is their defensive front, that defensive line they've got there, and the clear weakness for Ohio State is their offensive line after they lost their center, Seth McLaughlin, at the end of the season there, and he was really an important component, and it took them some time to kind of figure out how to replace him. They've had some moving parts on that offensive line, but it seems like they've sorted some things out. And part of that, I think, in helping kind of taking the burden off that offensive line is throwing the ball more, you know, just air it out a little bit more. And that's what's been so exciting to see. And I am very happy that the nation gets to see Jeremiah Smith in all his glory, because during the season, I was seeing him make, you know, one-handed touchdown catches and stuff against Michigan State and stuff. But, you know, I'm just sitting here watching it on, like, Peacock, you know, and I feel like it's happening in a vacuum. And it's really fun to see him kind of, you know, explode on the national scene like this. And because he is just, like, a talent like I haven't seen. There's very few, like, to me, he is up there with some of these, like, rare college talents, like Reggie Bush, you know, these types of players who are just, like, pop off the screen at the next level. And those players are just so fun to watch. And so that obviously gives me a lot of positivity about Ohio State. And then the other thing that
we don't, sorry,
about
Dennis, I hate to say it, we don't have time for the other thing. We got hard outs now. Joe,
and
another
an
thing,
outstanding
Patrick.
Job. You're doing your updates, brother.
You're doing, great job.
Hey, get me out of here.
They're very brief. great work with the Falcons all season as well. We'll obviously talk throughout the offseason. Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up, ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Glad you asked on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The final hour of the midday show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. What's got you down the Oregon-Auburn National Championship wormhole?
It's a clip on.
It just popped up.
Well, yeah, old clip.
I always love stuff like that. Yeah. Like games you totally, like you watched, but you kind of forgot the details of.
I was like, who's the quarterback? Like, oh, yeah. Who's the quarterback? Because I remember Cam, because obviously Cam won the Heisman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, did Cam play good in that game?
Played good in the fourth.
He threw a couple touchdowns, though. But I remember he was like, his back was messed up or something. Like, I do remember that. Mm-hmm. But Dwyer had landed on the guy, got up and ran.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
That was a deciding factor. Like, obviously, Auburn kicks the winning field goal.
All right, hang on. This is a BCS National Championship game.
Who's the quarterback for Oregon?
I know. I can't remember. That was obviously LaMichael James. Oh, Darren Thomas.
Okay.
It was Darren Thomas was the quarterback.
Okay.
Remember LaMichael James was kind of the guy for them.
Because LaMichael James was the Heisman Finalist that year, wasn't he?
If he wasn't, he should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good team. They had a good defense. They did a really good job against Auburn in that game. It came down to a field goal at the end. All right, let's talk to Wendy, who's in Lawrenceville. Hey, Wendy!
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, so here's my question. Greg Gumbel passed away, as we all know, and I grew up watching him and his brother, and all the tributes start pouring in, and not one from his brother. And I am just very curious as to why he has not had any public comment.
I don't know.
I think a lot of times, I think people expect that too much. And it's his brother, so maybe he's hurting. Maybe he's there when he passed away.
Yeah.
There's so many different things when people ask questions like that.
I don't know their relationship.
Yeah, but. And that too. But, I mean, and with Winnie's question, it always makes me wonder, like, do people sit and wait for that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And, like, wait for somebody's response to somebody dying. Or,
right.
Well, we didn't see you post anything about it, but yet I talked to him on the phone.
Right.
Or
right,
I called him or something
like that. Right. Again, that's his older brother. So, like, you know,
yeah.
He might just be devastated.
Yeah, it could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I personally don't know anything about them.
I don't know.
As far as their relationship.
I don't know.
But,
What I do know is they're both incredible broadcasters.
Yes.
And had a huge impact on the sports broadcasting profession for a long time. I didn't know he was sick. You know, that's one of those things you just kind of hear. It's like, dang, really?
Yeah.
I also didn't realize how old he was.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been on TV for so long. Certain guys just kind of freeze in time in my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I don't know what age I assign to certain broadcasters, but like James Brown is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old he is.
It was so crazy. They had,
but he's been the same age my whole life.
Dude, they had they showed a clip of the first ever show, and James's hair, it was so full.
Okay.
It was so full.
Still black, though.
Yes, black.
100%
black. Yeah, but it was full. It was full of life. His hair was full of life. Yeah, JB's hair was full of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, like, in my mind, and I guess maybe just because you watch it every single year, like, he's not any older than he used to be.
Right.
They're all the same age.
Yeah.
Still, but, of course, they're humans and all that. Danny is in North Atlanta. Hey, Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just, after having followed the Atlanta Falcons my entire life, was 6 years old when they started the franchise. The Kirk Cousins signing was the worst contract signing, not only in Falcons history, in Atlanta sports history.
Whoa.
And as far as Raheem Morris is concerned, you're an NFL coach. Three times I saw him mismanage the clock, in the first half against the Giants and in both halves against the Commanders. And finally, if anybody thinks the Falcons are going to win a Super Bowl with these two jokers, I suggest you get some psychological help. Have a good afternoon, Jeff.
Thank you, Danny. Danny probably feels pretty good getting that off his chest.
Yeah, felt like he was hit, that's in sitting there.
Yeah.
You called them jokers.
Jokers. I always like joker as a positive term, like when people talk about like a really athletic football player.
Right.
That joker.
That joker right there,
when
man.
They use that one, that's how you know like an older guy has a lot of respect for a football player.
Yeah.
Ooh, that joker.
That joker right there.
I really like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. If someone says that about a football player, they mean it. You know?
Yeah. It's like a Jesse.
It's like, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like that's
Jesse.
A full-on compliment. Like, if you're, because it's like an older guy, right? Like,
yes.
you're only an older football guy is calling somebody a joker.
Yeah, you know? A joker or a Jesse.
Or yeah, he slung that Jesse in there. That's how you know. Wes hadn't said that since Matt Ryan.
I know, because he had a reason to say it.
But he's been slinging any Jessies in there.
He had a reason to say it.
But now Penix is out there slinging Jessies.
Yeah, he had no reason to say it until then.
Yeah. All right, Rich is in Alpharetta. Hey, Rich.
What's going on, guys? First of all, I hope y'all have a safe weekend coming up.
Me too.
I got three questions. What's a common misconception people have about you?
Oh.
Who's a better coach, Denzel and Remember the Titans or Samuel L. and Coach Carter? And give me a top three sports movies.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Rich.
Perception that people...
Common misperception or misconception about you.
I want to, like, rope thrust people when they say you're nicer than I thought.
Nicer than you thought.
Yeah. Like, what the hell does that mean? Like, you don't know me to think that I'm not nice, because I'm nice to everybody.
That's true.
Even Abe, and I pick at Abe all the time, but mm-hmm. I always tell people this all the time. You better not mess with him. You better not mess with him while I'm around.
Mine is funny. Mine has to do with niceness, too. I don't like when people say that you're too nice, because I'm a friendly person.
Yes.
I have a very nice whatever. But, like, I'm not too nice.
No,
I'm doing great.
You got a little bad in you.
I'm exactly as nice as I need to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the other part has to happen, then it will.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to happen very often. I just think, what when people say that, what do they think they're saying? You know what I mean?
Am I
being nice? Is it holding me back?
I think.
Because I'm doing great.
I think they're insinuating that you can be taken advantage of.
Yes.
Which I cannot.
Yes.
Like, yes. Yes. Which is the right.
That's
and you're right.
Like.
You're right.
Or
right.
You're a pushover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that. And I know that for a fact. Like, you're neither one of those.
I am not.
Yes. Like, I know that for a fact. You're neither one of those.
Because I've had people in this business say to me before, oh, you're too nice. It's like, well, I'm better at this than you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not like you're trying to get me to put on something so you can have my job.
That wasn't very nice of me to say.
I literally just said, well, that is not nice.
I guess I'm not very nice.
I'll take Coach Boone.
Me too.
For Titans.
He was dealing with a
he
lot.
He was dealing with a whole lot.
Okay.
So now I understand that Samuel in Richmond, California, it is what it is out there.
Sure.
Yes.
This man united a whole town.
This man, like,
racial unity.
Yeah, racially. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one. And then top three sports movies. Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's in mine. So we're already talking about it. I got Major League. Love Major League.
North Dallas 40.
Okay.
And, oh, man, probably Brian's Song.
Okay.
I love Brian's Song.
Those are good ones.
Yes.
Those are really good ones. Remember the Titans, Major League.
The original Longest Yard, definitely.
Man, I don't know. I love Tin Cup. I got to get a golf one in there. I'll put Tin Cup in there. Chris is in Douglasville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick, I just want to ask you guys, do you think that Raheem's personality is a good fit for the type of players we have?
Is it a what?
Good fit.
Oh, good fit. I'm sorry. Okay.
Is him being a player's coach a good fit for the personnel we have? Because I've always felt like we needed a real old school, hard nosed coach like a Rex Ryan, Bill Cowher, John Gruden, Mike Zimmer, Bill Belichick type. Because I don't think there's any other coach in the world that would have allowed Kyle Pitts' lack of effort to continue to go on week after week after week before you made a statement and said, we're going to bench this guy because that lack of effort is not acceptable on this team. And two, another thing that bothers me about this team is our lack of fundamentals. Because why are we going up against Bryce Young, who is the shortest quarterback in the NFL, and not once did our D-line ever put their hands up to deflect any passes?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also against Jaden Daniels, we've got guys completely losing contained, completely losing their gap integrity.
Yep.
And it's just like, where are the fundamentals with this team?
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Fundamentals.
No, we got it. Thank you. I don't think Raheem being friendly has anything
it
to do with that.
It has a damn thing to do with it.
Because, again, I think behind the scenes, he's just as fiery as anyone.
Yes.
Arthur Smith was a huge, like, curmudgeon, whatever you want to call
and
it.
And it didn't work.
And they were bad for 3 years.
I don't think personality of coaches in today's world, in today's NFL, Don't matter.
Now, the guys he mentioned, sure, it would be great to have Bill Cowher, Bill Belichick, or all those Hall of Fame coaches that he mentioned.
But those coaches don't exist nowadays. No, they just don't. It's a new day with these damn coaches.
Yeah.
Which I think is still dumb as hell. And they did bench Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
They pretty much benched him.
Yeah. I mean, I know everyone wants the public declaration of anger, but just watch the snap count.
Watch the snap count.
The guy didn't play.
Yeah.
In the second half of the season, they had Charlie Warner in there. They had Ross Dwelly in there. Like, Kyle Pitts got benched.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel like he did do that. All right, Kevin is in Brookhaven. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for taking my call. I'm glad I finally got through. It's probably about a two-part question. The first question, Randy, is a former football player, and watching the Falcons tackle, especially in the secondary, play that just comes to heart was, I think it was the second drive for the Commanders in the second half, where it's fourth down and five. Daniels dumps it off to one of the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Bates gets him around the ankles. He's got him tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was D. Alford comes in to hit him, and he just bounces off of him.
Yep.
He doesn't drive through it.
Yep.
And if he does, they don't get the first down.
Absolutely.
In my eye.
Absolutely correct.
And I don't know how they teach tackling. Has it changed?
Well, I think
the
biggest thing,
they don't work on it
because they don't practice anymore. They don't thud up and practice anymore.
They don't teach tackling.
They don't teach tackling really. But I think we talked about that play. You weren't here that day. Me and Chris talked about that play. I was like, you got him.
That's on Chris Rodriguez, right? When they couldn't get him on the ground.
You got him.
Yeah.
You got him.
Yep.
You got to take him to the ground. Exactly what we said.
Yep. Yeah. Again, back to the caller before that though. The fundamentals on defense certainly were lacking. They tackled very poorly.
Yeah, and it goes back to, like, we didn't ever tackle to the ground in practice, but we get hit in practice. You know what I mean? And they don't wear pads enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know, I mean, don't get me wrong. When Coach said no pads, I was, woo, hell yeah.
Sure.
But the thing about it was, we would hit enough to be able for him to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's in the damn collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
Like, we came off strike. And all we got was lighter practices.
No.
The owners got every damn thing else. Yeah. We got lighter practices.
People wanted money, guarantees, bigger percentage of the pie.
We got lighter practices.
How about this? How about no more two-a-days?
Yes.
And you guys don't have to wear pads that much.
That's the thing. They don't hit enough.
No, you're right.
No.
And it's an accumulation because it's not just the NFL guys that don't hit as much. It's on down.
Yeah.
So tackling across the board isn't what it was because people don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
We don't hit no more.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
How do you fix it? I have no idea.
No.
I have no idea what the fix is.
Hit.
Just get right.
Because
you can't.
Even when you're in pads, they don't hit.
Right. That's the third day in a row that's happened.
We got to get that out of there. We got to get that out of there.
All right. Scott's in Peachtree City. Hey, Scott.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling, Scott.
All right. Well, first, I got a question for Randy, but Andy, man, did you forget about Caddyshack?
Ooh,
you put
another great one.
I do, yes. Caddyshack's really good.
Another great one.
It's more of a comedy than a sports movie, though, to me. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
It has a lot of golf.
Yeah.
All right. So, Randy, your distaste for Truly is legendary. So, I got a would you rather drink a six-pack of Truly or have to rub one out with your kids watching?
Jeez, Scott, dump that. Goodness gracious,
like
you're banned forever.
You got to be that guy, huh,
you're banned
Scott?
For life?
You got to be that guy. But you got his number so I can text him and cuss his ass out. Thank you.
All right. Jamie is in Kennesaw. Hey, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, Randy.
Hello.
And, Randy, I don't know if you consume that bottle of whiskey.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Hopefully it was enjoyable. I have a dilemma. I have 30 people coming over for my wife's 50th birthday.
Okay.
All right. How much booze do I need to get?
You got 30 folks coming over.
30 people coming over for a 50th birthday party.
Yeah.
You always err on the side of too much
because then
you have leftovers, right? There's nothing wrong with having leftovers.
Well, why do you got to buy all the liquor? Tell somebody to bring some bottles.
No, I can't. You get to that point in your life and you got to buy it, right? You got to make us some shots and everything. or let me ask it. So what shot do you go to? Is the midnight, hey, victory, you know, like, hey, birthday shot?
All right, Jamie.
All right, dog.
Just a shot of whiskey. You pour them up. You know what I mean? I think you'll be all right. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, but Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can't quite get there.
Wait, by the way, Scott, I'm going to find you, dude. All right. Gamey meat does not taste like chicken. I will find you, Scott.
Duck is not protein, so don't be going to duck to get your protein.
Bill Belichick is prepping kids to play in the NFL, not be rocket scientists.
Yeah.
And Joe has to use his fingers because he's got things to do.
James Brown's hair was always black, but it used to be full of life.
Yes.
And I will not let this mitten disparagement continue.
Beaches on. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Whatever keeps your hands warm, you know what I mean? It's going to be cold out there, so bundle up, whether you wear gloves or mittens or whatever it is. We will talk to everyone tomorrow morning at 11, whether it's snowy or whatever. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Watch out!